Podcast. Hogan Johns. The support and the backing that we have is just so powerful. It juices you up a little bit, and it makes you just want to, you know, do so well for everyone, play so well for these fans, and it's what they deserve.
WGN Radio presents Hogan Johns from Bears Training Camp in Bourbonnais.
I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. And we talk about it in our team meetings. This city and these fans are special.
With WGN's Adam Hoge and from The Athletic, Adam Johns.
Welcome back.
Here they are, the Adams.
Pick six, Chicago.
Hogan Johns.
That's right, welcome back, Adam Johns.
It feels good to be back.
Does it though? You're back in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, I don't mind Bourbonnais.
I don't either.
I miss staying in the dorms. Bourbonnais has grown on me over the years. It still looks the same. I don't see anything new. Nothing new at all.
No, there really isn't anything.
But it feels good. It feels good to be seen. Feels good to work again.
Yeah, Adam Johns back here with us. We love him. We thank Kevin Fishbane for filling in. You'll continue to
the Fishman.
You'll hear from the Fishman a lot throughout the season and throughout the preseason as well here too. But good to have you back here, Adam Johns.
I want to thank everybody for their kind words on social media. I was dealing with a family matter with my youngest son, but all is good. All should be better. We're here. We're working. We're back to normal.
All right, well, that's good to hear, because the Johns family is among the best, so it's great to hear. And, of course, you can follow Adam Johns' first tweets from training camp, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Mine are the same old boring ones you get every day and have for a week
now.
You
have a new, it's not an avatar, but a new picture.
It is an avatar. I think that's what they call them. At Adam Hoge. What do you think about that?
It's okay.
See, yeah, most people have been nicer than you.
They like it?
Yeah.
What have they said?
So
tell me why they're being nice, or what have they said that's
wow,
so nice?
Wow, you really don't like it.
I question anybody that changes their avatar.
Well, first of all, my wife says she didn't like the one I had.
Okay.
And we got new headshots done. WGN Radio had everybody in last week to get new headshots. And
you know what we need? Is our own version of Bitmojis.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the whole Bitmoji thing.
Remember the whole Bitmoji thing?
Yeah, back in March.
Yes.
In Arizona.
Andy Reid and his pancakes. Matt Nagy and his visor.
Brad Childress and his hamburgers. Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that it?
Yes.
Yeah, Andy Reid and the thing. Anyway, so she's like, you should use one of the photos. But I can't just use the boring, because they took like the regular professional stare at the camera things. And then they wanted us to have fun. They were like, you know, pretend like you're tossing a pizza, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was one where I was like catching a punt and all it looked like I was praising God or something.
Wait, was there a real ball or just mimicking catching a punt?
Yeah, just mimicking. I can show it to you. It's on my phone. Yeah. And then I'll have to tweet these out so everyone can see what I'm talking about. But then there was one right at the end where someone in the room was like, do the Heisman, and I just did it. So yeah. It seemed to be a good football avatar thing.
What I don't like are the people who change their avatars and then their handles often.
Oh, yeah.
Some people do that.
I hadn't changed mine in like almost 2 years.
Yeah, that's like grounds for me to unfollow you almost immediately.
Well, if you change them all the time?
Yes. Oh,
it does,
yes. Yeah.
I will say, it does kind of mess with your brain as you're
scrolling through and you expect to see something because you follow who you follow.
Yeah.
And you got somebody else. But for you, it's just a nice new avatar for Bourbonnais.
You should get one, too.
Yeah, I do need one.
Yeah, okay.
It's overdue.
A minute. All right. Well, that's all on Twitter. You can also read us at WGNradio.com/Bears. 10 Bears things from earlier in the week. You can still read them. They're still up. They're still fresh. And Adam Johns will have some new stuff on The Athletic, TheAthletic.com. And The Athletic app. Looks like you already got some stuff up.
Yeah, sat down with longtime equipment manager Tony Medlin the other day. Talked to Devin Hester. Talked to Charles Tillman, Tom Waddle, Tom Thayer, Richard Dent, Otis Wilson for the story. I don't know if people know this, but their equipment manager for the Bears has been here 33 years. He's got quite some stories from Walter Payton to Mitch Trubisky. Check it out.
Yeah, Tony Medlin does know what he's doing. I'm supposed to talk to Tony because good old Ed Farmer was like, when I was going to Bourbonnais, he was like, hey, tell Tony to get me some Bear swag.
Oh, yeah. See, everybody loves Tony.
I haven't followed through on that
yet. Yes.
But Tony is the best.
Yes, he is.
Except when he blows the air horn right in your ear.
Ah.
That does not feel good. Which happens sometimes here in Bourbonnais. All right. We better get the football talk. Please rate, review, subscribe, the whole deal. Tell your friends. I ended the podcast with this, and I'll say it again. Thank you to everyone, and we had it a couple times today during practice, that stops us during practice, says hi, tells us about the podcast.
Yes, don't hesitate. Yeah, come say hello.
Appreciate the shout-outs. We'll give you the shout-outs back on the podcast, so thanks to those that have said hi down here in Bourbonnais. We are always friendly and enjoy that. So this is that time where we can interact with you in person, because the rest of the year is walled off.
Yes, don't just add us at Twitter. Come say hello.
Yes, absolutely. And if you are coming down to Bourbonnais, let's see, we are recording this on Thursday. Friday's practice will be the first one where they're going to go live. That was according to Matt Nagy today. Now, that's still a pretty short period.
It sounds just like goal line.
Goal line, short yardage type situation. But when I say live, that means that people can be tackled. They wear the pads. Most of the stuff that happens on the line is legit, but when it comes to actually tackling the guy with the football, hitting a guy that's coming across the middle, like there was a play today where Deion Bush made a great play to break up the pass from Allen Robinson that was intended for Allen Robinson. But if that had been a live situation, I think he would have blown Allen Robinson up. And that would have been a very dangerous situation. So it was nice to see that you can still break up the play without killing the guy.
Yes. But that's, you know, that's actually what the NFL wants you to do. Mm. Not take a guy's head off, but the situation did present itself for some head taking off.
Which is also, by the way, when they do go live, they usually keep it the short yardage situation, so you avoid those collisions downfield, because that's how you get guys hurt in training camp.
Yes, it is.
So, what were your first impressions? This is your first practice here.
Yeah. I think it's just what everybody said. We were talking about this before we started recording. The defense looks a bit ahead of the offense. It's a camp cliche. I'm writing about this right now for The Athletic. To say that, you just look around the league, the defenses for a lot of teams are ahead of the offenses. The offenses require more time to get things in the sink. And I know that may sound alarming, because Trubisky's in level 202 and you want him to be better in year three, year two in the Aggies offense, but it's just not that way right now. Yes, the highlights, they were there offensively.
Yep.
I mean, Trubisky had a couple touchdown passes in the red zone, but you know what? The defense, this Bears defense is still pretty damn good. And this may sound like very obvious, but today when I watch practice, I'm like, they're going to be better off for it. There's a significant drop off between the Bears defensive starters and their backups. But together, when they're on the field, they're exceptional. They're all over the field. Buster Screen's fitting right in. I don't think they're missing Bryce Callahan. Clinton Dix returned today. But look, that defense can only make that offense better.
So I asked Matt Nagy today if it's harder to evaluate his offense. Like when they go back and they watch practice over and over again, they're watching the tape, they're evaluating it. You know, these guys are getting graded every single day. Is it harder to evaluate your offensive players and your offensive performance when you're going up against a defense this good? Like, perfect example, Khalil Mack had one of his signature Khalil Mack plays today. He beats the left tackle, Charles Leno Jr., gets his hands up, bats down the pass from Mitch Trubisky, and then catches it to complete the interception. It was an incredible play that very few edge rushers in the league can even make. Well, I'm not going to get on Charles Leno Jr. for losing that rep, because everybody loses that rep. When Khalil Mack wants to bring it out 110%.
And he is here by all accounts.
He is, but look, we've had this conversation before. Mack, I remember talking to Brandon Staley, the Bears' former outside linebackers coach, last year about this. It's not that Mack isn't going 100% on every play, but he is so technical that he can set his guys up by kind of raising and lowering the intensity level, if that makes sense. Like, he can diagnose before a snap, sometimes if a play is going to go to the other side. He can lull a guy to sleep. And then third down, money pass rush situation, brings it up to another gear. So it's not a criticism that he's not. It would be inaccurate. Here's the easiest way to put it. He's always bringing 100%. All of a sudden, he kicks it up to 110 sometimes.
Right.
That's that extra gear that he has. And he'll lull you to sleep and then kill you. That's what Khalil Mack does.
Yeah. I'm putting this in my Athletic story. We talked about it in the stands. Do you remember a few years ago, plays like that would never happen. They weren't even allowed to make such plays.
Oh, yeah, because Tressman didn't let you knock the ball down.
Because Mark Tressman refused to allow his defensive linemen to put their hands up.
Because, but that speaks to what you started the podcast with, that the defense is always ahead of the offense. Tressman's rule on that was he didn't want passes batted down because it disturbed the flow of practice. Like, they were trying to get in as much offensively as they could.
Yes, yes, they wanted to see things completed.
And he wasn't putting enough stock in that you still have to compete. Like,
yes.
Charles Leno is still going to learn from that rep today,
yeah.
Even though I'm
Mitch Trubisky's
going
to learn from that rep.
Sure.
You know what? Khalil Mack, look, what did the NFL Network have him at in terms of the player voting?
Number three.
Look, there's still other very damn good defensive ends out there. Trubisky's going to have to loft the ball over a few of them coming up this season. Is he not? So
sure.
He's better off for having experienced a pass rush like that, for having to see, I think it was a screen or whatever it was, you know, get completely blown up by a freak athlete that is Khalil Mack. They can only grow and benefit from this. That's
yeah.
it.
But, look, to get back to the original thing, I'm not at all worried about the offense yet. Now,
fair.
If it looks disjointed a couple weeks from now, maybe. If they really struggle in the preseason games, maybe. But I'll also say, like, when you got here today and you asked me about Trubisky, I told you what I think I said on this podcast the other day, too. He looks fine. Like, he looks comfortable. I still see... I guess my only complaint about what he's doing down here is he's not always been completely accurate. But the operation of the offense looks smooth. The going through his reads looks better. I mean, he does look more polished as
yeah.
a quarterback
yeah.
in that regard. Could he be more accurate? Certainly. And I know there's a lot of people out there that say you can't improve your accuracy. I would always...
I disagree with that.
I would always say that...
It's also easier to be more accurate when you don't have Akeem Hicks in your face.
Right. And when you get more comfortable in an offense, you're going to be more accurate. So there's no reason to panic. I think the bigger headline actually from this conversation is that under new defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano, this defense still looks as dominant as it possibly can.
Yes, yes. And they're throwing different wrinkles at Trubisky, too. I mean, this was kind of a similar story last year. Vic Fangio's defense gave Trubisky all sorts of problems. Remember this? We literally wrote what we're talking about last year because Fangio's defense was that good. Now, that turned into a great season from the defense. And, look, Pagano's putting his stamp on this defense. To me, how about when we were talking up in the stands and I'm like, who's that guy? Why is that guy yelling so much? Who is that guy?
Yeah, I had to get the binoculars just because he was so far away.
We were so far away. It was Chuck Pagano. We never saw that from Vic Fangio. You know, he may do some animated things here or there, and he was said to be very, very animated, you know, during games. But, like, on the field like that, the way Pagano was screaming at some of his reserves and some of his starters at some points, Vic was never like that. There's a change. And, again, I've written this. I think change will be good for the defense. If you're not going to have complacency when you got new guys barking at you. I think it helps combat that.
I also think that there's been a couple early good signs on the depth with the defense at some positions that maybe we were a little worried about coming in. Deion Bush is having a really nice camp, and he's getting a lot of opportunity because Clinton Dix has been out. Clinton Dix was taken off PUP, but he, you know, is still not practicing full go in these padded practices. So, you know, Deion Bush has been involved in a lot of reps, and this morning he was making a ton of good plays. A couple interceptions,
yeah,
actually. Some off some.
But then he got beat later.
He did get beat later.
And for a couple touchdowns. I think it was Allen Robinson put him through the shed a little bit. You got your notes there? What do you got?
I got it here in my notes. I got a Trubisky dime to Javon Wims. Oh, yeah, 35-yard touchdown.
He's been good this camp. We got to talk about him.
Yeah, and Deion Bush was in coverage on that, but it was a great throw. I mean, right in the bucket. Not many defensive players could stop that one. And then in a short yardage situation, press coverage against Allen Robinson. I mean, that's actually a situation where if we're going to have this debate between offense and defense, you would expect the offense to win that battle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Earlier in practice, though, Deion Bush had a... Oh, Mike Davis, actually,
yeah,
the ball went off his hands.
Off his hands.
But it was good hands by Deion Bush to haul it in. And then I mentioned the breakup he had on Allen Robinson further downfield early in practice. So, anyway, the point there being, I like what I've seen from Deion Bush early on in practice. So, if he's your third safety, that's encouraging to have some. And actually, he did a fine job. I mean, you miss Eddie Jackson because he was an all-pro in the playoff game, but he did an okay job. It's not like Deion Bush was an alarming
Eddie Jackson's
problem.
One of the best safeties in the league.
Yes.
Some players are just irreplaceable.
So there's going to be some steps
you
back.
You try to survive without him, but some players are just simply irreplaceable.
I also think Buster Skrine has looked better than I thought he would. But I also have said many times that within the confines of this defense, the talent he has around him, he should play better with the Bears than he did with the Jets last year. And I think Duke Shelley is actually pushing him a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's a full-on competition, but the depth there at the nickel looks pretty decent.
I'm sure Screen's seen some of the headlines, some of the comments that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have made. I mean, Shelley's made plays throughout the offseason program. Now, I know it's a bit different down here in Bourbonnais. Everybody's here. Everybody's in pads and whatnot. But the kid's made plays. I didn't see much out of him today. I saw more of Skrine. But, look, that will play itself out.
By the way, the Bears right now only have two healthy draft picks. That, if we're going to talk about negatives, that's a little alarming. David Montgomery, of course, is one of them, so that's good. Duke Shelley being the other one. Otherwise, Riley Ridley still on the shelf with the hamstring. Kareth White Jr. is dealing with a, hamstring and a foot sprain. And Steven Denmark's got something going on, too. He hasn't been practicing.
Yeah. Definitely disconcerting. I feel like we've had cases like this before where some rookies just get banged up because they can't take as not physical as it is, there's still some level of endurance from more practices to this being a full-time job for them that some of their bodies aren't prepared for.
Well, all due respect to Valdosta State, this is an NFL training camp.
At all of that Nazarene.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, it's a little bit different type of practice down here. So, to your point, it's not too surprising.
Yes, there's some physical things that change for these guys. And, like, you hear stories about these guys learning to be professionals for a reason. Because they're not all ready for this jump. It takes these guys maybe a year or two. Now, guys like David Montgomery, maybe they're ready for it.
Yeah.
But not all of them are.
No. Knock on concrete here, as I said here. No major injuries so far.
Adam Shaheen, the Grizzly Giant.
Yeah, but he's got a back, and he was out there
early. Out there today, yeah.
Early. He only did individual.
Yes.
But they need to ease him back. He needs to practice. I've said that one. That one and Riley Ridley are on the concerning level.
Yeah. Well, they're guys I think will be on the Bears 53-man roster. So
yeah. But catastrophic injuries?
Nothing yet.
Yeah.
Should you be knocking on some wood or something?
Concrete. That's okay. All I got in front of me.
That could
so
work.
We'll do that for their sake. What else today? It's your first practice. Unload it.
Yeah.
How about that Eddie Pinheiro? Nice bounce back for him. You're still
anti-kicker. I guess. I'm just.
See, I kind of came back around last week.
Like the full-on kicker coverage?
I'm not full-on. Only when I go on WGN radio.
Okay.
Because that's all they ask me about. But I like the structure of the competition here. Them each getting a day. I like how they've responded to each other having good days. And Chris Tabor admitted today, we got a chance to talk to Chris Tabor, the Bears special teams coordinator, that OTAs wasn't good enough. They were not good in OTAs. And they've stepped their game up so far here in Bourbonnais. So I think that's at least encouraging.
Yes. The fans seem into it. Awkwardly into it.
When
is that fair? Yeah, when they're kicking, like they do some Augusta silence, but not completely. And
well, the
some
first
cheers,
day
yes.
was the best because you weren't here for that. But Elliot Fry was kicking that. I think he had the first day, and so the way they're doing it, like in that one kicking portion of practice, you usually get like 8 kicks.
Yeah.
So like he makes the first, and it was just actually no, he missed the first. So that wasn't a great way to start. Then the second one, I think I tweeted, Adam Johns would not have liked the ball flight on that kick.
No.
It was whoosh, all over the place. But went through.
Benarski style?
It was Benarski, but it went through.
Benarski. I like
it. Yeah.
Benarski did.
It was the Benarski kick. And then the rest of them were a lot better. So as it built, the fans were like didn't want to cheer. But then by the time he hit the 60-yarder at the end, they were all into it.
Yeah.
So it was like they were reluctantly cheering the kicker.
My friend, where I'm at on this kicking competition, I just wanted to get to real games. Like, enough with the practices, enough with whatever they're trying to do to create more pressure. It's all fun. It's all good. I know what they're doing. But now let's take it to like, we got a football game in a week from now.
A week from today.
How about that?
It's crazy.
Everything I'm watching in that game has to do, because you're not going to see any real meaningful football players on the field, any meaningful football plays. It's all about the kickers.
Yeah, I wonder if he even puts the starters in for a series, like sometimes.
No, I wouldn't even bother.
But they did last year.
Yeah.
Not in the Hall of Fame game, right?
No, their second first game, if that makes sense to you listening. I wouldn't do it. I mean, guys like Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, they don't have to play. I don't even play Eddie Jackson in the preseason. Trubisky could use a few reps, but even then, if you're going to scale things back and make it vanilla.
What I would say is if they do the same thing they did last year, which is sit out the third game completely, but Trubisky plays like a half of the second game, I would think it would be wise to get him out there for at least a series or two next week.
Okay, maybe one possession.
Yeah, I mean, just to get just sort of back on the field and know that you could be hit. Not that he will be, but that, you know, that's a possibility out there. I don't know.
Who likes to get hit? Not me. No. You got it? You don't have your soundboard.
I don't have
soundpad.
We do not have soundboard capabilities right now.
No,
Bourbonnais.
No. We're in a courtyard in
Bourbonnais.
But back to your original question. Yes, part of me is tired of this kicker conversation. How can you not be covering it?
I just like that something changed.
Yes.
That they're starting to kick a little bit better. And Tabor would not reveal who will, how it'll be handled in the preseason.
But yeah, I saw that. State secrets.
I would think they split the games up, too.
I would hope so.
If the way they're doing this in practice, I don't know why you would change it up then for the games.
Yeah. But what if he doesn't get... What if Eddie Pinheiro is first and he only has kickoffs? They don't score.
I mean, that's the one thing you can't control.
Yeah, yeah.
It does make it difficult, but that goes back to what we've talked about a couple times. Like, maybe you have to kick on third down. If it's the fourth quarter and he doesn't have a kick yet in the game, you might have to just do it.
Well, at the very least, we're what, a week in the training camp? The kickers have been better. That's refreshing than the storyline when they were pretty bad. Even though Fry was pretty reliable during the offseason program, it's better.
It's
the competition
better.
Is better.
Yeah,
you don't have the circus that once was.
It looks like they have two kickers potentially capable of kicking in the NFL. I'm going to hedge that as much as I can. But in the spring?
You got to see it to believe it.
In the spring, when there's eight guys at rookie minicamp, it looked like you had eight college kickers there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looked like. So I think it's been a step up so far. And for
seeing
the Bears' sake,
believing. Yeah. We're gonna
better keep going that way.
Look, the last thing the Bears want is this playing out into the regular season where you have to make a kicking change, like say Pinheiro wins and then he stinks and you got to bring back Elliott Fry. You don't want that. You don't. You want one of these guys to win it and secure it for this season, maybe beyond. I don't want to get too carried away, but that's what you're looking for. I mean, Pace has used the descriptions of Justin Tucker and Will Lutz. Those are his examples. That's what the Bears are looking for. Someone who will bring stability. A young guy who brings some stability to it. A relatively young team that's on the verge of some very big things.
Chris Tabor was, how would you describe him today?
Terse?
Yeah, not completely thrilled about talking about the kicking competition. He did have a couple interesting moments, though, I thought, where he, especially when he was talking about how the kicking competition has gotten better here as it goes along. So let's play just a quick portion from Chris Tabor here today in Bourbonnais. It feels like since they got to Bourbonnais, that competition has amped up a little bit, and maybe the results have been even better compared to at least what we were able to see in the spring. Is that accurate, and why do you think that is?
I think it is. I mean, to a man, OTA performance wasn't good enough, and they understand that, and we're out front with that, and they're performing. They got it. They can only control what they can control, and I think both guys are doing that. You know. We'll see how it plays out.
Has any of their competition with each other and the way they've handled this surprised you at all? Did you expect them to be hitting them the way that they are, and especially under the attention that they have?
To be honest with you, I did expect them to do well. And I know that when you go through this process, there's growing pains, and we've experienced that, and we're still experiencing it. But they're stepping up to it. I mean, it's for real now. this isn't OTAs where you miss some and, hey, let's go tweak a few things. This is, I need to make my kicks. Days are limited. Games are limited. I mean, we're going to still play on Thursday night against Green Bay, and we're going to need a kicker.
All right, so that will wrap up today's portion of the kicking talk.
Since kicking segment over.
We'll have to bring Kevin Fishman back in and talk kicker.
Oh, did you tell me he was passionate about it?
He didn't mind talking about it. Yeah. By the way, look at my iPhone. I think it's about to explode.
Oh, yeah, a temperature warning.
Yeah, it won't work. It is locked down because I just had it sitting in the sun.
The science is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, black phone in the hot sun. Not a good idea. The one thing I do want to talk about is, are you sure you don't have any mechanical issues you want to break down from a kicking standpoint before we move on? Just want to double check. Your last chance?
You know, I thought that Pinheiro was short kicking it a little bit.
You are the Jamie Cole of this podcast.
I am not the Jamie Cole of this podcast. I just know a good kick when I see one. To be fair, I don't need to stand behind the guys with an iPad to know the mechanics could be off. But I thought Pinheiro, I thought maybe he could have followed through a little bit more. I felt like he had like when he missed a 55-yarder, I'm thinking to myself, this is the kid who made like a 70-something in practice. Like, where's the oomph? Follow through. I felt like he was very concerned with his mechanics.
Well, the 55-yarder, Chris Tabor said, was chunky. And I appreciated that Mark Grody followed up on that.
Like the candy bar?
Like, yeah. Was it like a chunky candy bar? It's like a golf shot, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, trust me, I had a couple the other day here in Bourbon.
Yeah,
you know,
chunked it up.
I hit six inches behind my ball. It didn't go very far.
Yeah,
it certainly didn't go 55
that's
yards.
That's a good description there. That works.
So, yeah, all right. Chuck Pagano, not Chunky, but Chucky.
Chunky Pagano.
Yeah, not Chunky Pagano. I had a chance to talk to him today. He's not afraid. Multiple times he has over and over said that. By the way, was that Larry Mayer and Ryan Pace?
Yes, it was. I had to give
the golf cart.
I had to give the, you know, the quick double check on that as they zoom by together.
Are we sure Larry's not holding him hostage? Like, do we have a hostage situation going on here on the ONU?
Ryan, we really need some, you know, more desserts back in the cafeteria. This health thing we got going on here is just not working for me. Back in Lovey's days, back when Weinstead was coach, we had chocolate cake there on Wednesdays.
We had unlimited
need to bring that
desserts.
Back. Lobster and steak on Thursdays, Ryan.
Oh, we heard about
we
gotta
bring this back. Oh, yeah, Larry doesn't miss Lobster Day.
Do they still do Lobster Day?
I don't know.
All right. We certainly aren't invited to that.
Thank you, John Fox.
Chuck Pagano. He's talked about it. It's a great situation he's come in, and but I did want to play some of this today because I asked him about just being back coaching in training camp, like, and how important that is to him. And here's the answer.
It's what I do. It's what I love to do. 33 straight years, and then you don't have it. You don't have a team. You know, my family, my wife, my kids don't have anybody to root for. Now we got a team again. You know, so I'm back coaching. You know, you're at the grassroots level again, it's as good a situation that I could have never dreamed of. You know, I'm truly blessed to be here. It's awesome.
Chuck Gibney, as a former coach yourself, what has stood out to you about the way Matt has used the successes and failures of last year going forward with this group?
Yeah, you know, the culture, first of all, that he's built is off the charts. It's very unique. You don't find it very often. He's got a vision for this football team, and he understands, you know, it's a lot harder to handle success than failure, you know, and he's not going to let this team get complacent. And he's going to keep his thumb on these guys, and he's going to push them. He does a great job of that. He pushes us as coaches, and he pushes these players, and he's not going to let them relax. We know how hard it is to get to the playoffs. We know how hard it is to win 12 games. You know, now you want to have an opportunity to go do that and maybe win just one more game. The statistics are alarming. Go from 12 wins to 13. It's like in the last 10 years, there's only been about 7% of the teams that have done that. So he's done a great job of pounding that message home. Chasing great, sweeping the sheds, doing the little things better than everybody else. He's done a phenomenal job.
All right, there's the Bears defensive coordinator. It kind of brings this podcast full circle because I understand the angst people have towards Mitch Trubisky, and they just want to see him light the world on fire. I get all that. But I still think the bigger headline from training camp so far has been that this defense looks like it's clicking. And, yeah, it's the beginning of training camp is geared towards the defense winning, but it look to me like it looks like it's just picking up right where it left off. Like, there's no issues, really.
Yeah.
They're all over the field. The defensive line looks great. Akeem Hicks looks great. Khalil Mack looks great. And it's all
Kyle Fuller looks really great today.
He does. He looks good. And there's some people that might have questions about him going forward, but he's still looks like an all-pro, too. So, the fact to me, the fact that this defense is looking this good under a new coordinator, because I feel like we were underrating that a little bit. There is a new coordinator. It's a big deal. To me, that's much a bigger headline than, okay, maybe the offense is still figuring things out.
See, I feel like defensively changes are easier to handle because they still have the same players. Now, offensively, when you install a new offense...
Well, tell that to Mel Tucker.
Yeah, that's a big... Anyway, forget that reference right there. That did not work. That's why Chuck Pagano's putting in new things.
Yeah.
He's challenging him in different ways. He's not trying to run Lovie Smith's old defense, or in this case, Vic Fangio's old defense. That failed. We've seen that fail miserably. But you know what? To be fair to our old friend Mel Tucker, Chuck Pagano's been dealt a significantly better hand. Better.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a transcendent talent at outside linebacker. He's got a could-be all-pro linebacker in Roquan Smith. Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Eddie Jackson. Kyle Fuller's a pro bowler, all-pro. They're loaded. The entire defense is loaded. And they're still pretty hungry, it seems to me. Still got that edge to them. So, dealt a good hand.
I imagine when Vic Fangio left, the line was out the door at Hallis Hall to interview for the defensive coordinator job. I mean... You probably had a lot of guys that wanted the job because they realized there's a decent chance they could be a head coach in a year.
Yeah, but Pagano doesn't even want that.
Well, I know. That's why I think that probably played part of the role in who they end up hiring. Scheme being one of them, very similar schemes. Guy was still clearly motivated to coach, but seems to, and I'm always hesitant about this because, let's be honest, things can change. If Chuck Pagano got offered a head coaching job in January...
Yeah. Yeah, he may.
Is he really going to turn it down? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Knows, like,
but
he's lived that life already.
He has,
yes.
And I'm also not sure that I mean, Vic Fangio did get a job offer, but he's the exception to the general rule now, which is you got to be younger and
offensive minded. Yeah. Some quarterback background. I don't know whoever put this saying in my head, but it's not the X's and O's, but the Jimmys and Joes, and the Bears have some good ones. On defense. Even if you just go back to like the 85, 86 Bears, this is how long, this is why this saying is so true. Like Buddy Ryan leaves, that defense was still pretty darn good after he left. You know why? Because the Jimmys and Joes.
Yep.
The players are the ones who make the plays. And I get that the schematics of things are immensely important, the motivations of things are immensely important, and having the right guy in charge could really take those Jimmys and Joes to the next level. But you know what? There's a good foundation there. You got Khalil Mack here for a full training camp. You got Roquan Smith here for a full training camp. Some good things afoot for the Bears defense. Don't underrate what they're becoming.
Also, the other thing that Pagano talked about today that I thought was extremely interesting, Matt Nagy's coaching style, making sure these guys do not get complacent and pound. Not just like saying those things, but he actually brought facts to the table. I mean, I haven't double-checked this, but Pagano said that one of the things Nagy is pounded into the Bears' heads is that, okay, yeah, you won 12 games. In the last 10 years, all the teams have won 12 games. Do you know how many came back and won at least 13 the following year?
7%. Yeah. Chuck Pagano did say that.
Now, again,
you get a grand of numbers?
I haven't fact-checked that. But the point is legitimate, and it's one thing to win 12 games, it's a lot harder to come back and do it back-to-back years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Personally, I don't think they win 12. I think they maybe win 11, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, if they do 13, I mean, you're talking about a special year. I mean, it could still be a special year with 11 wins, but the Bears are in that range. I don't care what their schedule says. They're going to be favored in a lot of these games. You talked about it a lot.
That's why I still lean more towards 13.
Yeah. I still believe that there's still a bunch of people struggling with the idea that the Bears are a good team.
You know what? This is something I've been thinking about diving into. There's a lot of people out there who think the Bears are overrated right now. I think they're underrated. I actually still think they're underrated. Because I think that they're not getting... I don't think enough people are paying attention to the fact that the age of the defense, they should actually be better than they were last year. Now, there's a difference between saying that and doing it, because what they did last year was remarkable and is going to be really hard to match. But the idea that they're going to drop off is, to me, so unfounded that it's ridiculous. And I'll be shocked if the offense isn't at least a little better. So really, your only argument then for them taking a dive in the second year under Matt Nagy is that the schedule is just too hard. And yet, when I look at the schedule, I agree it's hard. I can't wait, actually, to see this go week by week because the matchups are so good. I still think the Bears are the better team in almost all of the games.
Yeah, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Now a lot changes once the season gets going, but that's to me how it looks right now.
That's how it works for every team.
So, I actually think that they're underrated, not overrated.
That's fair. That's fair. Look, I think I've been saying look a lot. It feels different to be back, Adam. It feels good to be back.
I can look. I can listen.
You can look. You can look, look, watch, listen, however it works. There's a lot of uncertainties with every team, but if the Bears stay healthy... What was it? Sports Illustrated had the, like, their analysis was pretty fair, but then they said at the end that don't be surprised if you see a pre-Nagy like record. They were really bad.
Yeah, what?
Pre-Nagy.
Like 3-13?
Yes,
bad?
Like 5-11 bad. No, that's not happening, people. That is not happening. That is the John Fox era.
The only way that it happens,
catastrophic injuries,
is if Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack,
Eddie Jackson and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, if those four guys get hurt.
Yeah, throwing Tariq Cohen for the time being. It's just, that's how it happens. But even then, they should be able to surprise a few teams. Just saying, I think people are struggling. I firmly believe this.
Yeah, they're struggling with the idea that the Bears are good.
That they're back. That they could be back. They and you know what? Maybe the Bears don't deserve that credit yet. They've been pretty darn bad. Again, we just mentioned the John Fox era.
Yeah.
The Mark Trestman era. People have been disappointed before. We've seen them fail before. Feels different.
I've already seen people pick the Packers in week one already. Whereas I kind of look at the Packers situation almost like when the Bears fired Lovie Smith and hired Mark Trestman. Now, I'm not saying Matt LaFleur is Mark Trestman. I don't know him that well yet, but I look at the fact that there's already an aging quarterback there that has his own set ways
way of doing
things. They're throwing money at the defense to salvage it. They're not building it with draft picks. They threw a lot of money out there to make a mediocre defense, maybe an average defense.
Yes.
Which is not unlike what the Bears were doing at that time after they got rid of Lovie.
You have a quarterback playing for his legacy. And that quarterback's got one Super Bowl.
I don't see that team winning the Super Bowl.
No. I'm sure he feels like he deserves a lot more.
Yeah.
That team is not built to compete that way right now. May never be, in his tenure, it may not be that way again.
No, will they be better than last year? I think that's possible. I think the Vikings are going to be better. I think it's going to be a harder fight in the division this year than it was last year. I will say that. But I still think the Bears are the best team. So, and I will be surprised if they lose that first night at home. But we got plenty of time to break that down.
Yes, we do.
We are a ways away from that. But it's good to have you back, bud.
It feels good to be back. Good to be seen.
Next week, we're going to have a game to talk about.
Wow. Wow. Panthers.
You were just waiting for there to be a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's game week. Mm-hmm. Kind of. Will be.
Practice. Talking about practice.
Yeah. The dog days of Bourbon, eh? Now there's a breeze.
How was my Allen Iverson? Was that pretty good?
It was not good.
No. Still famous clip. Where would you rank that clip in terms of the R who we thought they were, the Allen Iverson practice, the Jim Mora playoffs?
It's up there.
Those are top five, top ten.
Absolutely. And Matt Nagy saying he needs a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different. He actually was just driving by as I said that.
Yes, there he goes. On his way to get a cheeseburger, maybe.
You gotta be careful here. All of a sudden, Larry Mayer might be behind you with Ryan Pace. All right, we gotta go. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read Johnsy's story on Tony Medlin at The Athletic, on The Athletic app. You can read my stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you guys doing that. It's good seeing you out here in Bourbonnais. And we will talk to you probably on Monday after the weekend.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
And Carlos Santos.